You see, we usually know about miracles that are instant. Eyes that are blind, boop, open. Ears that are closed, boop, open. We like instant miracles, microwave miracles, because those are the ones that make great testimonies, and those are the ones that make the cover of Christian magazines. But I would hazard to say to you, in these days, most of the miracles will not happen instantly. They happen gradually. But I wonder how many miracles we missed because they happened gradually.
Aloha, and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero. Yesterday, Pastor Wayne began a message entitled, The Reason for the Wait, where we learned from the life of Moses that God does not always answer prayer immediately. He allows us to wait in order to strengthen our heart. Well, today, Pastor Wayne will take it a step further as we look at the lives of Naaman and Peter, lessons they learned about waiting that can benefit us today. That message will be coming up in just a moment, but first, we invite you to join us for a few minutes of worship from New Hope.
How many of you are glad that we get to follow the King of Kings? Let's sing together. Here we go. Come on.
Come on. I know who I am. I know who I am. I know.
I'm confident
Is Pastor Wayne with the conclusion of the message, The Reason for the Wait.
Would you write there in your notes that here it is, the wait has its own assignment. Some of you are looking, where at? It's right at the bottom. It's in the grass. Check the grass. See the grass? That bugger is in the grass. I never have time for more to lawn, so it's right there. The wait has its own assignment. Moses has a great lesson that God uses the wait to strengthen our hearts. Our second speaker of today is a general named Naaman. Must have had leprosy because it's called Naaman the leper. Maybe his arm had leprosy on it. And yet he was a general, very high general in the Aramean army. At times in the history of Israel, the Arameans were allies to Israel and sometimes opponents. It must have been in one of the conquests that he got a slave girl, and he must have been a benevolent kind of general because she really became a part of his family, became a handmaiden along with to his wife. And one day, this slave girl looked at her master, Naaman, and saw his leprosy, and she said to Mrs. Naaman, she said, "Excuse me, there's a prophet in Israel. I just wish he would go to this prophet. His name is Elisha. And Elisha, I've seen him speak over people and they get healed. Oh, I wish my master Naaman would go to Elisha." Well, the wife goes to Naaman and says, "Honey, you got to check this guy out." So he says, "Oh, okay." Well, he takes the equivalent of, you take a look at the talents and shekels of silver and gold that he took with him out of 2 Kings. He took nearly $1 million, put it in his cart, and went to Elisha. On his way with his servant, Elisha sends a servant, hearing that this man had leprosy and was coming for possible healing. Elisha sends a messenger and says to this man, he says, "Go to the Jordan and dip yourself 7 times. Now, Naaman thinks, this is the stupidest thing I've ever heard. In fact, listen to this. When Naaman heard this, he was furious. And he went away saying, "I thought surely he'd just come out, stand over me, call on the name of the Lord, wave his hand, and would cure my leprosy. Microman." And listen to this. So he turned away to return in a rage. See the state of his heart? He was angry. As he's going back, his servant says, My master, what if the prophet would have asked you to do something difficult for your healing? Would you have done it? Yes, I would have done it. Yeah, what if Elisha would have asked you to climb to the top of Mount Everest and there you would get your healing? Would you do it? Yes, I would do it. I'm just making that part up. I could just hear some of you. Oh, I never knew Mount Everest was in the Bible. No, I'm just paraphrasing, all right? So if you were asked to do something tough, would you do it? Yes, I'd do it. He's asking you to do something simple. Now, Naaman says, all right. Now, he's still furious. He's still in a rage. And so he goes to the Jordan. Now, the Jordan's muddy. And you could see him with stars all the way down, 8-star general, 10-star general. And he's got so many medals, he walks with a limp because it's so heavy. And he goes into the Jordan, and he's furious. This is the stupidest thing I've ever heard. What? This is filthy. Filthy. Stinks. How many times? A master, 7 times. 7 times. 7 times. This is ridiculous. 7 times. Are you going to dry clean my clothes when I'm done? 7 times. So he goes under. Is anybody watching? This is so stupid. This is so stupid. How many more times? 6. 6. Dumb. Master, if he would have asked you to do something difficult, you would have done it. Yes. I already told you that. Shut up. But this is simple. Simple. My eyes. Simple. Simple. Two times. Gosh. Well, maybe he's right. Maybe he's right. Because I would have done something difficult. But this is simple. If he would have asked me something difficult, my heart would have been challenged. And here my heart is furious. So maybe it's not the size of the task. Maybe it's the state of my heart. Huh? Yeah. Gosh, what am I doing? God, if you would have asked me to do something difficult, I would have done it. And here you asked me to do something simple and got a bad attitude. Gosh. Lord, if it's for my healing, whatever you want me to do, I'll do. How many more times? That was your 7th one. 7? Yeah. Throw me a towel. Wiping his face. Gosh, Lord, I'm so sorry. My heart stunk, didn't it? Sorry. Master,
what?
Your arm.
What?
Your arm. And he looked at his arm, and it was clean, like the skin of a child. Naaman is going to teach us something about the reason for the wait. Would you write in number 2, this is what Naaman the leper is saying, that God uses the wait to refine our hearts. Just like Moses said, God uses the wait to what? Strengthen our hearts. Naaman says, but for me anyway, God used the wait to what? Refine my heart. He said if it was just one time, he would have gone away with his heart still furious. Heart wouldn't have changed. See, sometimes when God puts me in the wait, I think it's a penalty. Somehow God is penalizing me. And I just kind of wait out the wait. And when it's done, we done? All right, let's get on with it. And my heart hasn't changed. So years go by. You can be a Christian. You can go to church 55,000 times, but still have the same heart. See, there's a reason for the wait. And sometimes we discount the wait as waste. And our hearts never change. And Naaman says, no. God uses the wait to refine your heart. You got to catch that. Deuteronomy 28 and verse 47 is a scripture I want you to write down. It's not in your notes, but just write that verse down. And this is what it says. Because you did not serve the Lord with a joyful and a glad heart for the abundance of all things, therefore, you will now serve your enemies. You see, God is so interested not in you serving Him. God is interested in us serving Him with a joyful and a right heart. Because if not, you can come through that season of wait, heart still is bad, and you start to serve your enemies. It goes downhill from there. There's a reason for the wait. And Naaman says, I know, I went through it. The reason for the wait is because God uses the wait to refine our hearts. And you see the scriptures there, but go with me to the second scripture, 2 Kings 5:14, and let's read what happens in the end. Go. So he went down and dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan, and his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. How many times? 1, 2, 3. How many times? Seems long, doesn't it? We could have taken the shortcut, but our heart would still not have been refined. The third teacher we have, I love this guy. The first was Moses, and he says God uses the weight to what? Strengthen our heart. Naaman rushes to the front and says, yeah, let me tell you though, God also uses the weight to what? Refine our hearts. And the third one is Peter. I love Peter because he was impatient, just like you. I love it. And they called Peter ambidextrous because he could stick either foot in his mouth. Just like me. I love Peter. Then Peter's going to teach us a lesson. And this one will come just about that close from him dying. It's found in the book of Acts, chapter 12. Let me give you a little background. King Herod, after the Jews were saying how bothersome these Christians were after Jesus had been crucified, how bothersome these Christians were, followers of Christ, that Herod got a hold of James, the brother of John, beheaded him. And the Jews were excited. They go, ooh, I like that. So, figuring that if a few people were excited about him decapitating John or James, John. Why not Peter? And so he proceeds to get Peter and threw him in prison. And his intention was, on the day of the Passover, a Jewish holiday, he was going to take Peter out and kill him too. Let me read to you what takes place. Peter was kept in the prison, but prayer for him was being made fervently by the church of God. Now, on the very night when Herod was about to bring him forward, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and there were guards in front of the door and watching over all the prison, guards everywhere. Now, catch this. Behold, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared, and light shone into the cell. And the angel struck Peter's side and roused him, saying, get up quickly. And when he did, his chains fell off of his hands. And the angel said, now gird yourself. In other words, put on your pants. I guess he was sleeping in his bibbidis or something, but put on your pants. And then he said, now put on your sandals. And he did so. He complied. And then he said, now wrap your cloak around you. And he did. And then the angel said, follow me. And he did. 5 little steps of obedience along the way. And Peter complied with every one. And now under number 3, let's read the scripture together before we fill it out. Continue, go. And he went out and continued to follow. And he did not know that what was being done by the angel was real, but thought he was seeing a vision. When Peter came to himself, he said, "Now I know for sure that the Lord has sent forth his angel and rescued me." Now, check this out. Peter is sleeping, just snuggled up, knowing that the next morning he's going to wake up. It might be his last day, but he's sleeping. An angel comes in and rouses him up. And he says, "Peter, get up." Peter got up. I was like, he's in a daze, not knowing what's going on. And the angel says, "Put on your pants. Your sandals." And he puts on his sandals. "Get your coat on. It's cold." "It's now follow me." And he begins to follow. Now, he doesn't even know what's going on. But I want you to know that a miracle was taking place. Now, let me ask you. Peter would be a part of this miracle, because it was only later, till he was outside, that the angel disappeared and he saw that he was free. And Peter, I'm sure, said, "Oh, OMG. I think a miracle just happened. I really do." He could figure, he realized that a miracle just took place. Now, rewind the tape. What if he was sleeping there and the angel roused him up? "Peter, get up." "Shut up." What would have happened to the miracle? Done. Done. "Peter, get up." "What time is it? Put on your pants." "Oh, that's so stupid." "Put on your sandals." 20 minutes. "I just need 20 more minutes. Hit the snooze button, will you?" And he goes, what would have happened to the miracle? Done. But I want you to see with me that in each step, Peter complies, and only later, after full compliance, that he realizes, "I think a miracle just happened. I think a miracle just happened." Here's what Peter wants to say to us today. Would you write down a number 3? Peter says it this way: God uses the ingredients of the weight from which he will produce a miracle. The ingredients, the steps that he collects of obedience. God says, "Oh, now I have enough ingredients for the recipe of a miracle." Because at any time, he could have destroyed the miracle. He could have stopped the miracle. I wonder how many miracles I missed because I didn't get up. I wonder how many miracles I missed because I didn't want to comply with the steps of obedience. You see, we usually know about miracles that are instant. Eyes that are blind, boop, open. Ears that are closed, boop, open. We love those miracles because we're microman. We like instant miracles, microwave miracles, because those are the ones that make great testimonies, and those are the ones that make the cover of Christian magazines. Those are spectacular. But I would hazard to say to you, in these days, most of the miracles will not happen instantly. They happen gradually. But see, we're still looking for the instant ones, and they happen. But I wonder how many miracles we missed because they happened gradually. Just like this one that Peter is talking about. It's going to require something of you and me to get up. Gird yourself, sandals, cloak, follow, continue to follow. Oh, whoa, wait a second, a miracle just happened. Understand? I wonder how many miracles you missed, we missed. I wonder. Those miracles eventuate. They process. But they're every bit as powerful. Don't miss them. Why? Because there's a reason for the wait. A big reason. Ask Moses. Ask Naaman. Ask Peter.
You've just heard the conclusion of a message entitled The Reason for the Wait by Dr. Wayne Cordero. Thank you for listening. We encourage you to support this radio ministry as we continue to spread the good news of Jesus Christ. You can give online at enewhope.org. Just click on the Giving tab and designate your gift for radio and TV. That's www.enewhope.org and click on the Giving tab. As you do, Philippians 4:17 says, "The fruit of this ministry will abound to your account." Mahalo and God bless you. Thank you for listening to Words of New Hope. Until next time, for Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you God's very best and aloha.